This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
This is Varsity Letters, your British Columbia High School and University sports podcast, hosted by veteran Province sports reporter Howard Samura.
It's Thursday, October the 22nd, and you're listening to Varsity Letters on Province Sports Radio. I'm your host, Howard Samura, joined as always by producer-engineer Adam Foster. Varsity Letters is Canada's only podcast dedicated solely to university and high school sports. Three guests on the show today, all from the world of BC high school football. Right off the top, it's going to be David Mills, the co-head coach, defensive coordinator of the Robert Bateman Timberwolves out in Abbotsford. Big games, important games for the AA Wolves over the next couple of weeks. As well, joining us, Wayne Theobald, the head coach of the Argyle Pipers out in North Vancouver. Some great success for the startup program out there on the North Shore. And to finish up today, Jerry Mullis, the veteran BC football coach, now in his third season, I believe, as the head coach of the Seaquam Seahawks out in North Delta. Coach Mullis also set to join us on Varsity Letters. David Mills, now our guest here on Varsity Letters. He is the co-head coach and the defensive coordinator of the Robert Bateman Timberwolves out in Abbotsford. Fertile football country, especially at the AA variety. So many great teams out in Abbey this season. And Coach Mills, thanks for joining us this week on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk Bateman football and where things sit right now. This league schedule, pretty compacted, and you really have to come out and perform each week. I know you guys are 0-2. But looks to me like the results have been quite solid the last 2 weeks. A number one GW Graham, you lose by one touchdown, 21-14, and then a tough one-point loss last week to Mission. How do you see the progress of this team going forward?
The last two games have been tough. Both those teams are very good. Our defense has been playing quite well. Offense is kind of struggling to find consistency right now, but I think that we're making progress in that area, and then once we can start to put some points on the board, I think things will really start to get going for us.
Well, let's talk about Abbotsford at the AA, especially in that Eastern Conference. You have so many teams, and not just in Abbotsford, where we're talking, you know, Rick Hansen, we're talking Abbey Secondary, we're talking Bateman. You've got Mission as well. You've got G.W. Graham in Chilliwack. What is it like, you know, because there really seems to be a very high bar here being set by so many of these programs. What is it like trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, in high school football and out in Abbotsford?
It's good. It's tough. Like, it really challenges you, right? Every week you've got to put in work and you got to prepare. And there's no easy games, right? So it's great for the boys. I wish we could get one or two more wins here so far on our schedule, but it's been really good playing against such high level of competition.
We are talking with David Mills, the defensive coordinator of the Bateman football program. Of course, Dan Village as well coaching with you, and the offensive coordinator of this program. Talk about your defense. I mean, obviously in charge of the defense, and as you mentioned off the top, the defense, David, starting to do a good job. I know you've got a great senior in your linebacking core, Devin Sidhu. You had a big win over Holy Cross. I think he had 11 tackles in that game. He's the captain of the defense. What's he been like as a force defensively?
He's been great. I mean, he's strong, he's fast, he's smart. I mean, he's everything you need in a linebacker. He's just been all over the field. He's a guy that leads by example. He plays through pain and little nicks and everything, and he's a great guy for our team and a great leader.
Well, I look at your linebacking core, Coach, and, you know, Sidhu, as we just mentioned, is a senior, but you've got two great 11s in there as well that are really, you know, doing a job with tackle numbers and sacks. Dawson Davis, a great 11 kid. I believe he had 10 tackles against Holy Cross. He's got 50 on the season. And Court Joseph as well, 34 tackles and 4 sacks. Those guys are both 11s. How are they progressing, and how much do they represent, you know, the future of this team's defense beyond this season?
They're doing very well, and like you said, they're grade 11, so it's exciting to have that kind of talent coming up in grade 11, and I'm looking forward to next year to see those guys as seniors, just to see how well they do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they all progress. When we look at this offense, and of course you being the defensive coordinator, I'll still ask you around this offense throughout the week of practice and see them playing. Just some thoughts on kind of what has to happen to find consistency from this group, because, as we say, you know, a one-touchdown loss to G.W. Graham and a one-point loss to Mission in back-to-back weeks, yet you look at the offensive numbers and you go, how are they doing that?
Yeah. We think we just have to simplify. You know what I mean? We got to make it easy for our quarterback so he knows what he's looking at. Our offensive line's got to get a push, and just got to find some space for our running back, Anthony Bodger, who's one of the fastest kids in the province. He was the top 10 in track and 100 meter last year. We've got a few good receivers too. Tyson Gibson, who's 6'4", big body, great hands. So just to be able to get those guys the ball and get them in space and let them do what they do.
Anthony Bodger, you talk about 253 yards, 3 touchdowns on the season, 19 carries for 128 yards this year. And as you mentioned, some of these guys as well are younger. Aiden McDonald, I know, is a grade 11 receiver. Yep. who's done some nice things. Let's talk about the quarterback, Keegan Vicklin. He's also a grade 11. You know, you look at those numbers and you can tell that, you know, opposition defenses are putting Keegan under a lot of pressure. The touchdown interception ratio is quite high there, but it's really come down in the last two league games, which I think is something pretty optimistic if you're glass half full looking at that situation. But what does a young quarterback like a Vicklin learn in a grade 11 season like this when he's facing that kind of that kind of pressure?
Yeah, he's really been thrown into the fire. I mean, his first season as a varsity starter and playing against some really good teams, as we said before. But he's adjusting to it, you know what I mean? He's a smaller guy, so sometimes if guys get up in his face, it's tough for him to see what's going on downfield. But he's kind of coming around and starting to get a little bit of confidence, which is good to see.
David Mills, our guest here, as we mentioned, the defensive coordinator of the Robert Bateman Timberwolves out in Abbotsford, getting set, for league action this week. We will ask you, Coach, what was that win over Holy Cross like? This is a Holy Cross team that beat Abbotsford when they were number one. I know there were some circumstances in the game that maybe contributed a bit to that Holy Cross victory, but you were able to come back and beat this Holy Cross team 17-10. Talk about what was firing well in that game and how that game kind of serves as a template for everything you guys want to do moving forward.
That was an exciting game. We got off to a really good start. Anthony Bodger had, I think, a 60-yard touchdown on our first offensive play, which really kind of got us going. Our offense was able to move the ball a little bit. I think we had 22 first downs that game, which was really good. And defensively, we were able to stop the big play. We had to make them work for everything they had. And everything came together that week.
Well, the big one does come up this weekend. You guys are going to be playing at number 2 Abbotsford, a crosstown rivalry game. Obviously, you guys defensively have done a very, very solid job. It's no easy task holding G.W. Graham to 21 points. I know how explosive, and experienced and size-wise that team can put on the field. Yeah. It's an imposing thing to look at. You look at Danny Jacobs' Mission team, consistently a solid performer out in the East. And, as we mentioned, a 10-9 loss there. What has to happen against Chase Claypool, and company as you get set to face that explosive Abbey team on the weekend?
Yeah, they're a very good passing team. They've obviously got Chase, but they've got some other guys too that are really good. I think what we have to do is we have to limit their big plays. They're going to make some plays. That's going to happen. I mean, they practice too, right? So, but we just have to limit the explosive plays. So if we can do that, make them have to work for what they're going to get, and then just gang tackle. Right, Chase gets the ball, or anyone gets the ball in space, we all got to be there to make the tackle.
This Robert Bateman team has gone through some ups and downs, and I know there was a pretty big upsurge a few years ago where the team was actually very, very competitive. And I know you guys are close to turning a corner here. Look at some of the guys that came out of that that nice stretch of play that you guys had in their first year UBC guys. Tanner Friesen's a defensive back at UBC. Ben Cummings, a receiver running back type at UBC, first year guy. Both of these guys as well are Sauter School of Business students. You at the school have to be proud of guys like Tanner and Ben moving on to the next level, but challenging themselves not only on a great Thunderbirds roster this year, David, but also academically in the classroom.
Oh, absolutely. Those guys are great examples of what we want out of our student-athletes here. They work hard in school, they work hard off the field, they work hard on the field. They're like, what I want our guys to look up to.
When we look at examples and great players coming in to talk to your kids and kind of leaving an example for them to follow, I was looking at your team's Twitter feed, and am I mistaken here? Was J.R. Redmond, the former Patriot, out with you guys in August, NFLer, Super Bowl guy, helping the kids out during training in the summer?
Yeah, he came out for a day and kind of put the guys through some drills and gave them some tips, and it's always great to have a guy like that with that experience come in and kind of inspire the boys and give them something to look up to and give them maybe a different perspective on things. And it was a really good experience, positive experience for our guys.
You got to tell us what the connection was to get a guy like that out there.
Dan Village actually set it up. I think JR emailed Dan or got in contact with Dan and said, hey, can I come out and help you guys? And Dan's like, absolutely. So he just out of the blue wanted to do it, and it was awesome.
Hey, do you think that high school coaches, you know, don't take full advantage of the fact that there are a lot of people from outside of their own team environment that have had great experience at so many different levels of the game that would be available to come in if people just asked?
Yeah, I think. But I think it's probably they don't necessarily know these people, right? Like, it's tough to call up a former CFL guy that you don't know and ask him to come in and help you out at practice. But, I mean, if there's a connection there, then I think absolutely take advantage of it, right?
I know you have some CFL connections. You've got to tell us a bit about your playing past, where you played, you know, and collegiately as well, and then let us know what kind of happened towards the end of your playing career.
Yeah, I played university football 2 years at Mount Allison and 3 years at York University. And then 2009, I got the opportunity to go to training camp with the BC Lions to compete for the long snapper job. That was a great experience. I got cut after training camp, but, I mean, obviously disappointed at the time. But looking back, I think it was an incredible experience for me, and I couldn't be happier with what I'm doing right now.
Now, is that the path that you follow? Because I know you played high school ball out in Ontario, David. Is that kind of how you got out to BC? Was that you came through the Lions and just kind of stuck around, or have you been crisscrossing the country since that Lions opportunity in 2009?
My family had moved out to BC right after I graduated high school, so I came out with them and played a year of junior before I went to university. And then after I graduated in 2009, my wife and I moved back here because we were expecting our first child at the time. So we moved back here. I was signed with BC, so it just kind of worked out well.
Well,
and I've stayed here since then.
Well, great to have you as part of the BC football community, especially at the high school level. And I know Robert Bateman, that coaching staff, happy to have you and Coach Village there guiding the fortunes of this team. All the best against Abbotsford. We'll be watching it. I know there's just a couple of weeks left, you know, in the regular season. It comes and goes so quickly in terms of that East Division schedule, but all the best against the Panthers, and we'll be watching you guys down the road. But thanks for being a guest on the show today.
All right. Thank you, Howard.
Wayne Theobald, now our guest. He is the head coach of the Argyle Pipers football team out in North Vancouver, and Argyle football having a renaissance, a rebirth over the last few years, and some great things are happening with that program. Coach Theobald, thanks for joining us this week on Varsity Letters.
Oh, Howard, it's my pleasure to be on. And I know everyone else says this to you on your pods, but you do an amazing job for football in BC. And Friday nights, the first thing I do after my game, I come home, I check for your report, and I probably check it about 10 times before it comes up, and same on Saturday too. So thanks for what an amazing job you do. It makes football a lot more fun in the province.
Well, that is the highest compliment you can pay me, Wayne, because I'm telling you, I'm trying to create that sense of urgency in the community on Fridays where you can get those game reports as soon as the games are over, as quickly as I can write them and as quickly as the coaches like you can send them to me. So it's great that you know, you're sensing that in the air, and it's great that the podcast is also able to contribute to that community. And talk about contributing to the football community, the Argyle Pipers, having them back, we were talking off the air. Let's chat first off about a 30-year absence of our Argyle Pipers football before I believe you guys came back in 2011.
Yeah, there was a legendary coach called Dave Bakey. He coached for years at Argyle. And I think right in the middle of the season, they just came to him and said they were folding the program. And he was super upset, and there's no more football for 30 years after that. And the 30-year span, I think there's probably maybe about four or five groups that try to, parent group and players try to get football back at Argyle, but they were all unsuccessful. And then about 5 years ago, we had a group, Shane Sheehan was the main person. His son was grade 11 at the time. And myself, my wife, and the guy called Steve Mansfield, we came and made a proposal. And the school is pretty accepting, and we got football back after 30 years.
Wow. And that was back in, I believe, the 2011 season. And I could sense the pride and the excitement when I got your report last week, because your 21-0 win over West Vancouver, you guys, you know, when you get into varsity football in this province, you got to work your way up. And this year, of course, Argyle moving to the AAA tier, and you guys beating West Vancouver. And as you noted, the first AAA win in program history. How good did that feel for everyone involved, from coaches, players, administrators, everybody involved, to get your first AAA win as a program last week?
Oh, it was a lot of fun, especially with the cross-time rival. And Sean Anderson over there has done a great job with West Vancouver program for a long time, too. And a lot of the kids that we actually know, we played against in the GSL, and a lot of the guys play in our, we have a spring flag league, so we play against in our spring flag league. So it was definitely one of those games we didn't want to lose, but we knew West Vancouver kids are pretty tough. We knew it was going to be a battle, so we were more than happy to come up with a win.
Well, you know, we should get to that flag league, because I think you know, as you look at the development of this program from the bottom up, you started, I believe, with your wife, a spring football flag league 5 years ago. There were a limited number of teams when you guys started, Wayne. From what I understand, 70 teams, 950 players. That's got to make you smile, knowing, you know, those kids are getting a nice introduction to football.
I'm super proud of that. My wife and myself, we run a nonprofit in North Vancouver, working with families and youth. And one of our goals, you know, is just to get kids more active in the community and playing sports. And one of our things is we want to develop all the football programs on the North Shore. That's including West Van and Windsor and Argyle and Carson, because it's been kind of a drop in numbers of kids playing football on the North Shore because a lot of competition in other sports. So we started a program probably about 5 years ago, and the first year I started was kind of a great story because everybody I asked said no, like every single person, and even my own son said no. my son wanted to play tackle, he didn't want to play flag, he was younger at that time and thought, you know, flag wasn't fun, he wanted to hit people, and everyone was just too busy. So we said, you know what, this league's a totally developmental thing, it's if you can't make it, don't worry about it. We really emphasize our coaches, it's everyone gets to play, everyone gets to feel like they're a special part of the team. And without any advertisement, with all just word of mouth, we've gone from 4 teams and 50 kids. And last year we had the 950 kids in 70 teams, and all the way from grade 1 to 22 years old. So it's been a great experience, and it's so much fun. I really enjoy it.
Well, when you look at that, you know, as an introduction, purely as an introduction, if it's the first time ever that a youngster's getting on the football field and playing flag football, what's important about that, just in terms of introducing them to the movements of the game, shy of the contact? I mean, is that a great way to introduce them, you know, to things that they can build towards down the road?
For any type of skill player position, like a receiver or a DB or quarterback, it's fantastic because every single play you're in coverage, every single play as a quarterback, you're running around trying to make quick reads. So the development's really great. And another good thing for the younger kids is a lot of, you know, parents are kind of apprehensive of the kids playing tackle. But so we have all these kind of high-end hockey players and high-end soccer players that come up playing flag football, and all of a sudden they get a taste of it and they love it. And then our hope is then they'll join our community league, the GSL. And then from the GSL, they'll go and find a true passion for the game. And then all of a sudden now we're developing all these players for all the high schools on this North Shore. And all of a sudden we can start competing with some of the bigger programs in the province.
Well, I know you guys, in terms of development with this Argyle Senior Varsity program, 2011, 12, and 13, they were tough years for your program, you know, in league competition, trying to establish yourselves as you work through the various tiers. But 2014, I think the big breakthroughs really started. We're talking about last season and that big win that you guys had last season, I believe, at Nanaimo, beating John Barsby. They were the defending BC champs at the time, were ranked number one in the province. You guys got a 13-12 win. And I had so much fun, Wayne, writing that story after talking to you and some of the players. I hear the guys broke out into Bohemian Rhapsody on the way home. And can you talk about what it meant to see that group celebrate all the work that had gone into that victory, and kind of what it meant as a benchmark moving forward for Argyle football?
It was a pretty special moment for us. Our JVs that have actually, we've had kind of had a long history with Barsby. I have total respect for Rob over there at Barsby. He does an absolutely amazing job. His team's so tough. You always know it's going to be a battle, but we actually had some great battles with them as JV squad, so we had a little history of that game. We actually played them 2 years before that, and it was I think it's a game that everybody that was involved would remember it. We were it was a playoff game. We were the, you know, the unknown Argyle against kind of the powerhouse Barsby for JVs, and we showed up, and they actually had chainsaws. They had chainsaws, so it was so loud that we couldn't hear ourselves. We couldn't hear our coaches talk to each other. We were right beside each other. So every time we were in offense, they had these two chainsaws. They'd get ripping. And we were actually winning that game by, I think, 10 points with 3 minutes to go, and we had the football. In my mind, I thought, you know what? We've got this. We've knocked off Barsby. And I thought in my head, for us to lose these games, all these things would have to happen. We'd have to, you know, get stopped really fast. They'd have to get a big punt return. They'd have to score fast. They'd have to do an onside kick and get it and then score again. I don't know why I thought that, and all of a sudden, with 3 minutes to go, all these things happened. We actually had a call, and our quarterback, Cole, couldn't hear the call because of the chainsaw, so he heard the wrong number. We had the wrong playing call. It didn't really work. We punted. We had the wrong guys in the punt team because the guys couldn't hear that we called punt. They had a big punt return, scored a touchdown quickly, and then they went for an onside kick. we actually recover the onside kick, so the game's over, we can just take a knee and win. But they're offside, and with the new rule, they got to re-kick again. They re-kicked again, they got the ball again. They got back, drove down and scored, and we got the ball back, I think, with 30 seconds left and drove all the way down and got tackled like on their one-yard line or something. It was like a Friday Night Lights special. So we were just devastated. Like, that's one of those losses, I think, that none of us got over. So the next year when we played them in the playoffs again, too, the guys are pretty hyped up, and it was just a regular Argyle, Barsby, friggin' hard-hitting, back and forth, who knows who's going to win, and we were pulled it out, too. So it was a special moment for our whole program, and a special moment especially for all our kids who've worked so hard for such a long time.
Yeah, and you know what? Only in high school football, right, Wayne? And those, we should point out, those chainsaws used for noise only. They weren't coming after the Argyle players with the chainsaws. They were using them.
We had some coaches thinking that they were going to actually call the police so we can get rid of those stupid chainsaws, but they actually didn't have the blades in them. They were just noisemakers, and they're right behind our bench. So it was I wasn't too upset. I thought it was kind of great, but it probably hurt us, but our other coaches were definitely not very happy about it at all. And well, I think since then they've banned chainsaws. There's no more chainsaws allowed. I think the Barsby tried that at one of the UBC games, and they got tossed out pretty quick.
Well, there you go. As we said, and we'll repeat it, only in high school football and great atmosphere all over this province, had so many great games in that atmosphere, obviously starting to build with the Argyle Pipers and their program. The win, as we mentioned, over West Vancouver was 21-0 last week. Also this season, a 20-14 win over Langley, a very good ranked AA team that's on the rise. And I'll tell you, a tough one though, 24-21, a loss to Handsworth in your Pacific Conference AAA opening game. This conference, it can be unforgiving. I think there's a good amount of parity, Wayne, in this conference, but only the top two teams are going to move forward in the playoffs. How much emphasis is that putting on every single game that you guys play?
Well, every game is a playoff game. With only every team is pretty competitive. All the scores have been close, so it's, you know, anyone can win on every given day too. So it's a lot of fun. It gets kind of nerve wracking as a coach. I'd like to eventually have a game where we're up by a lot at the end of the games instead of freaking sweating it right near the end. But the Handsworth game was a great game, and it was Jay's a personal friend of mine. We actually run some football camps together too, so I know for sure next year I'm going to be hearing about it. So it's one I really wanted to win. But Jay pulled a couple tricks out of his hat, and we had kind of a slow start, but we came back storming back. Every time we came back, they'd answer, and they ended up having a win. So it was a good win from them. They played really well. They deserved it.
Well, you referenced this young man earlier in the conversation, and obviously he's a very, very special player. I'll tell you this right off the top, and we're going to talk about your son, Cole Theobald, the starting quarterback of your football team. Everybody you've played, the coaches have remarked to me, not only how good this kid is, but the efficiency, I think, is what they really look at. The passing percentage, the completion percentage is always up there. This in the last two games, I put these numbers together from your reports, 34 of 51 for 297 and 6 touchdowns. Can you talk about his growth, his development as a the quarterback of this football team, and kind of, you know, why he's been able to find success, and because he was good at a young age as well?
Yeah, I'm a little biased in this.
That's
one,
okay,
I've had a great experience coaching with my son. I've coached him in flag football and tackle, and for a long period of time too. And he's just a great kid. He's played football since he's 5 years old. He's got a passion for it. And kids that have played for a long time, they just kind of know the game, and they kind of see things in a different perspective than guys that are new to it. So he just really understands the game, and a great passion for it too. And I couldn't be any prouder of him.
He's not the
biggest kid in the world, but he's definitely pretty tough for his size.
And must be pretty cerebral kid too, just in terms of absorbing the nuances of the game and studying it. I could be wrong there, but is he a real student of the game?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he loves football. He watches film all the time. He watches the NFL and the CFL and college football, and he's always willing to, he's hoping to play university football, so he's always working as hard as he can and train super hard, and, you know, we'll finish practice and he'll come home, and we live over in beautiful North Vancouver. We're right by the top of near the mountains. There's some pretty steep stairs. He'll go over and run the stairs or throwing balls with buddies all the time too. So it's good to see someone having a passion for something and really working hard and getting better all the time.
And I think one of the special things about this Argyle team is that, you know, as you mentioned, exploits of this team coming up through JV, having those big rivalry games with a program like John Barsby, your receiving core, Aiden Pierce, Caleb Buchholz, Ken DeJani, those guys must have pretty good chemistry now with Cole, and he must delight in working, you know, with quality kids that can catch a football.
Yeah, we got the other Pierce too, big Nick Pierce, but like some of these kids, I've actually known them since they've been, like, for me, this is such a special group, because a lot of these kids I've actually known or coached since they're 5 years old, And Cole's played actually flag. A lot of these guys, we've all played flag football together too. So the chemistry's been great. They've been playing tons of different leagues each other, and it's just a good group of kids, and the chemistry's definitely there.
Well, you know, I left Nick Pearce out because I was going to mention him on the defense because I know he makes a real statement along your defense as well as your injured defensive captain who's now back, and that's Daniel Masenapur. Talk a bit about the defense, who's kind of stood out, and kind of, you know, where this group is going here as we get towards the end of the season.
Yeah, our defense has been outstanding. We're not a big bunch, but we're definitely athletic and super tough and really willing to get better all the time too. But yeah, Nick Pearce and Daniel are definitely our leaders. Nick, we kind of move him around from different positions too, and he's kind of a interesting kid because he's a rugby player and a hockey player, but he's always just kind of played football, but never been like Cole and those other guys, a real student of the game. And he doesn't even think he's very good, but every time you look at the stats, he's always like 10, 12 tackles, and we keep on telling him how good he is and how good he could be. But I think after like playing football for 10 years, he's finally realizing that he can actually be a pretty good player. And Daniel Mosenpur, he's like Cole. He's played the game for a long time. He really understands it. Just a super smart linebacker, very tough, very mobile. When we went down to play San Diego, I think he had 15 tackles in the San Diego game too. So to get him back, we're missing him against, when we're playing against Jay, we got the Hansworth team. We're actually missing all three of our starting linebackers. So that really, really hurt us a lot. We had guys out there inexperienced. So getting Daniel back is just huge for us. Huge. So happy to have him back.
And we talked about, you know, all these games every week being like playoff games. And you know what? You've got a 2-0 Seaquam team that narrowly beat Hansworth. If you're going to do comparative scores, let's say all these three teams, Hansworth, yourselves, and Seaquam, just based on those comparative scores, pretty evenly matched here. What do you see as the big challenges? The game, 3 o'clock, I believe, at your place, William Griffin Turf, on Friday. Seaquam coming to town. What do you have to do to beat that team?
Well, Jerry Mullis has been around for a long time. He's an extremely, extremely good coach. So watching them on film, they don't do very much wrong. They don't have a huge roster, so hopefully we can wear him down. But the guys they do have out there are very athletic. And quarterback who can throw a football, has got a really good arm. Their offense is going to be a great challenge for our defense. And they've got a really special running back. I'm not sure what his name is. All I know him is his number 11, too, and he's definitely a very quick and a very, very elusive runner, so we're going to have our hands full, but hopefully we got a package that'll slow them down at least to the best. I don't think you can really contain them wholly, but if we can slow them down, that'd be a good accomplishment for our D.
What do you like about this new AAA conference? You know, it's got some good numbers. It really is geographically represented. You're going all over the province playing games, and as we've seen, the scores have been very close, and only two teams of this entire division going on to the playoffs. So do you like the format, and is it a great way for you guys to take that step up into here to AAA football?
We're to be honest here, we're a little disappointed. We're not a big size school, and they actually made some changes to try to get more AAA programs because we really thought this group would have a good shot at the AA championship. But and I think even next year we're going to be probably below the numbers, so I don't know how long we're going to be up in AAA. The division's fun because everyone's competitive, everyone's close to each other too, so every week it's a good game. There's no, you know, you look at some of the AA scores or some of the AAA scores, there's a lot of blowout games, but it just shows you how much fun it could be if you get teams that are all equal competition, and what a great experience it is for the coaches, players, and fans, for everybody.
Well, how did you end up in the coaching profession here, Wayne? Because I know you come from back east, and obviously you played at Sheridan College out in Ontario. Just bring us up to date on your football career and kind of what's led you to the head post here at Argyle.
I started playing football in high school. I was more of a soccer, hockey guy growing up, and I fell in love with high school. And actually, I came out here to BC. Some friends called me out, and they asked me to come up play for the Mariloma. So I played for the Mariloma a little bit and Burlington Braves back in Ontario for junior. And then I played 1 year at Sheridan College. And I've been working with kids my whole life. It's just kind of a natural fit. I'm a counselor. And then out here, my son found an interest in football, so I was all over that. And, he was playing the GSL for Flag, and one of the coaches he had was pretty inexperienced. And I think his one play he did almost all the time was the Statue of Liberty. So after a while, a couple of us dads couldn't really take it anymore. One of the other dads is a friend of mine from Ontario, a guy called Bill Stanger. He actually moved out here, and his son was the same age as Cole. So we thought we'd jump in and start helping coaching the Flag team. And actually, Bill and myself are still coaching 8 years, 9 years later together, and he's the offensive coordinator for our team. So that's how I got into coaching football. I definitely have a passion for it and really enjoy it. Well, love working with the kids.
Yeah, and it's great to see the passion shows through, Wayne, and it's great to see, you know, programs emerge from schools where they just didn't have football as a part of their student body, as a part of their campus experience. And I just think it's so essential, you know, that programs not only start but do it the right way like you guys have, and have longevity at these schools and really leave, you know, a legacy behind for high school football at their school. So congrats from all of us here at Varsity Letters. Argyle's been fun to watch, and we will continue to do the same. But all the best the rest of the way, and we just want to thank you today for being on the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, and again, we enjoy everything you do and look forward to talking to you soon.
Jerry Mullis, now our guest, the longtime football coach in the province of British Columbia, and for the past 4 years, the head coach of the Seaquam Seahawks out in North Delta. Coach Mullis, an honor to have you on Varsity Letters this week.
Well, I'm not sure about an honor, but I'm happy to be here, Alan.
I love talking football with you, Jerry. We've known each other for years, and it's always fun to chat high school sports. I know you like to chat basketball, football, but especially football this time of the year. And maybe bring our listeners up to date on Seaquam, because you guys are 2-0 in the AAA Pacific Division. What's been behind the good start this season for the Seahawks?
It's really all about the kids. We have a very small roster this year, which is unusual for us. We're normally in the mid to high 20 range. This year, we've only got about 17 seniors, augmented by a few grade 10s that we bring up, JV team, which incidentally is doing extremely well also, is undefeated this year, as are our grade 8s. It's really the kids' dedication, and they've done a super job. You know, a good example was the game last Friday against Handsworth, where it went right down to the wire, where, you know, we won 35-34. But in the second half, in our minds, and also long-term coach Ron Corrado, who's been with the program ever since it started, said he could never remember a game where the kids had such a gut check in the second half and rose to the challenge. It was amazing.
Well, you know, and I could sense that from the reports and everything I had heard about that game. I didn't get a chance to see it, but I understand there was a second half goal line stand and so many clutch performances. It kind of set the scene for us. When you have low numbers like that, Jerry, how important are the little things like your off season? I shouldn't say little things, but off season conditioning and really just being a stoic individual. I mean, you really have to want to give to this program when you have low numbers playing on both sides of the ball. And it can be pretty draining for these guys.
It can be, you know, and it's what we do in the off season is we start off season training in January. We give them Christmas off, obviously, and we have an open weight room session 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and that's open for any of the kids in the football program and actually anybody in the school that wants to come up. We monitor that. The football staff monitors that. And then during the summer, we run a 6-week conditioning program, and we bring in professionals to do that for us. The people we brought in this year were Innovative Fitness, actually led by a fellow by the name of Casey Suter, who I happen to coach both at Holy Cross High School and at UBC. And Casey's a professional trainer and did a phenomenal job. We had probably 40 to 45 kids from grade 8 through grade 12 working out again 3 days a week at the school. And they pay a nominal fee for that, which, you know, kind of goes into fundraising as well. And that we find that really, really helps, you know, getting the kids ready for the season and gets them kind of into football mind and understanding that the better shape you're in, the less injuries and all that kind of stuff that accrue. Because obviously with a small roster, even if you have one injury, that's probably three positions you have to worry about, usually offense, defense, and special teams, because typically a kid will play, you know, has a good chance of playing all three areas of the game, right?
Yeah, you're not kidding, Jer. And when you have those numbers, and of course, as you mentioned, you're bringing in some JVs, you're doing all that. Jerry Mullis is our guest here. He's the head coach of the Seaquam Seahawks out in North Delta. Jerry, you reference the fact that you're able to bring in, you know, professional level training to help your guys in the offseason. But I would imagine your Rolodex or whatever you're using to store your numbers on is pretty extensive. I know you don't like talking about yourself, but we just want to let the listeners out in Varsity Letters Land know your coaching resume, former head coach at St. Thomas More and Holy Cross, now at Seaquam, 10 years the CEO and the president of Football BC, head coach of the Abbotsford Air Force, assistant coach at UBC and Simon Fraser, also those CFL stops, BC, Saskatchewan, Las Vegas, Toronto, Ottawa. Wow, that's an extensive resume, Mr. Mullis. When you think about that, I guess there's no question your love of coaching. Compare the college, the pro, and the high school, and what brings the most satisfaction to you out of those three?
Well, I think it's different. You know, I think high school above all is probably the best. The most enjoyable, because you've got kids. A lot of kids have never played the game before. Some have played some level of football, and it's always fun to see those kind of kids that have never really played before achieve something and find that they can actually do something they didn't think they could do. Whereas in university, you're recruiting kids, you're recruiting elite athletes, you know, from all around the country, pretty much. And that's a different type of coaching. In the pros, it's totally different. You know, it's all about ego management and all those kinds of things. And the pressure on winning at the pro level is obviously, you know, much, much higher than it perhaps might be at the other levels. Having said that, you know, winning is important at every level because that's why you're out there doing it. You want the kids to be successful, have some level of success. But I think in high school, it's the joy you get as a coach is just seeing kids of all different shapes, sizes, abilities, all coming together for one particular purpose, which is football. I mean, I've often said that football is the purest team sport in the world because where else do you get all these different types of skills and abilities put them together in order to have success? I mean, it gives a kid a chance. If I draw an analogy between football and basketball, for example, a short, heavy kid may not be able to play basketball, but he can play a role in football and get a real degree of self-worth out of it, of you know, feeling that he's contributing to the team effort, because he's got that kind of skill set, whereas he might not have that in basketball and might not be able to play that particular sport. So, you know, I think from that perspective, high school is probably the most enjoyable, just seeing the kids having an opportunity to be successful, and both on the team basis as well as individually.
Well, I know, Jerry, as you've worked with these Seaquam kids, you've obviously brought the best out of some of these prospects, and some of them are very, very good. And on your current team, just talking to Wayne Theobald in the segment before yours here, and of course you guys will play at Argyle on Friday in a big Pacific Division AAA football game. I asked Coach Theobald, what do you think about Siakam? And the first thing he says to me is, they got this guy, number 11, and he is a player. And of course, we're talking about Masaki Kawanami, a guy who can rush it, can catch it. He's I believe he's got about 600 all-purpose yards and 5 touchdowns, something like that, early, you know, thus far in the season. What has he meant to your program? What kind of force can he be in a game?
Oh, he's a game breaker. I mean, he can score from anywhere on the field. He has a tremendous knowledge of the game. He's a foreign student. He's visiting from Japan. He's in his third year of visiting Canada, and he's only been home once, I think, in the time he's been here. But it's a real testament to what the Japanese program is doing, high school programs are doing. Masaki came with us, and yes, he's short and all the rest of it. But I tell you what, he's probably got more football knowledge than 5 or 6 other guys put together. He came with that knowledge from Japan, so he's been a real impact player for us. And there's an absolute joy to be around. He's a peppy kind of guy. He's always up. He's never down. And he's fun. He's probably one of the most popular kids in the school, bar none. I mean, people all know him, you know, and but he's also blessed with a real talent, athletic talent. But he's also very, very coachable. He's, very eager to learn the whole time. And from a team perspective, there's no question. He's a fireball for us. And, the kids love him. The coaches love him. He's just one of those special kids that comes along once in a while, and he's an absolute joy to coach. And I know he's from your heritage, Howard, so you must be proud of him too.
I am very much proud. You got to get the Japanese guys in there, man. I'll say that without question. As well, defensively, this kid, you line him at safety, he's leading your team with 49 tackles, more than twice as many as the next closest guy. So Kawanami, obviously, Theobald knows him, number 11. They're all going to be watching your guy. He's going to be a marked man on the field. We should talk a bit about your quarterback, too, because I think he is the second of brothers that has come through your program. Joss Yance, who was your quarterback. Tristan, I believe the younger brother, now manning the pivot spot for you guys, and 677 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's rushed for a couple this year. How are you coming along at that all-important quarterback spot?
He's coming along just great. He's in many ways, he's like his brother. Again, he has very good knowledge of the game, very coachable, very receptive to everything we're doing. He's a grade 11, so his potential is it's pretty interesting. I look at him and Josh had a couple of other things that Tristan doesn't have. Maybe Josh a little bit better runner than Tristan was, but Tristan's maybe got a stronger arm than Josh had. But I see it as parallels. I mean, they're both very dedicated to what they're doing. Tristan's a little bit more outgoing than Josh. That's fine. He's the younger of the two, and that's quite normal. He's coming along just fine. He's understanding what we're trying to do. And in fact, we just had a film session together yesterday, and we were looking at Argyle, of course. And I'm not going to give away any secrets, but you know, we were looking at our game plan for Argyle, and you know, he's really tuned into it and really understanding what we're trying to do. So it's great to have kids like that who have that kind of intelligence and are prepared to put in the extra time. Yeah, and Tristan's certainly one of those guys. You know, he works out hard, and he's kind of following in his brother's footsteps. And you know, I think he's a potentially a bit brother to be better than his brother once he hits grade 12. He continues going the same direction. You know?
Great to hear that. Great progress from the quarterback, Tristan Yansu. Jerry Mullis, our final moments with the coach of the Siakam Seahawks here on Varsity Letters. You know what? I know you don't want to give any secrets away heading into the Argyle game, but I would think right up front, Jerry, your defense's job, guys like Menny and Gould and Kawanami, I mean, you guys have to stop Cole Theobald, who's had a terrific start to his season here, and he's effective, he's efficient, he's thrown six TDs in the last two games. How big has he been in terms of scheme this week defensively for you guys to try and slow down?
Oh, he's scary. I mean, he's scary good. There's no question. He's a guy that we're kind of most concerned. I won't say most concerned about, because we obviously it's a team perspective, but he does some things there. He runs well, he throws well. And, you know, he makes some things happen. And then that's kind of what you look for, you know, when things perhaps don't go quite according to plan. But he has an ability to get out there and make things happen. And, he's a heck of a player. And there's no question that he's uppermost in our minds in terms of defending. You know, how do we contain him? I don't know if you stop him totally, but we want to try and contain him, within our system. And hopefully good things will happen for us. But he's a heck of a player, and he's a good kid, too. I really like him. He's a nice kid.
Well, the Seahawks are 2-0. They beat Salmon Arm 22-8. They beat Hansworth 35-34. And getting ready for the big game Friday, 3 o'clock at Argyle, the William Griffin Turf. It's going to be Siakam and the Pipers in a big Pacific Division AAA matchup. Jer, before we let you go, I got to ask you this, because you know what? The time commitment required to be a high school football coaches, it can be as long as the day is long if you want it to be that. There is never a down moment if you want to be looking at some aspect of your program, from conditioning to fundraising to scheming to motivating your kids to doing all this kind of stuff. I heard some crazy news just the other week. I heard you're actually going to go from the football season straight into the basketball season. There's about maybe a day's break, if none, and coach the Siakam senior boys basketball team. Was that a decision that you just snapped your fingers and said, yeah, I'm your guy, or did you have to think about that a little bit?
I had to think about it a little bit. They came about, I was chatting with our athletic director, and he mentioned to me that the school was having a lot of trouble finding a senior boys basketball coach. And as you know, Howard, I've been involved in basketball for about as long as I've been involved in football. It's going on 50 years. And, I thought about it, and I said, well, it'd be a heck of a shame not to have a senior boys basketball team at Siakam. So I approached a couple of other guys that also helped me coach football. And by the way, I should pass on a huge, huge, before we get off this, a huge vote of confidence and thanks to all our assistant coaches, particularly Nick Kawaza, who's running our JV program.
We're talking
and,
football here,
Gavin Chan, who runs our grade 8 program. But yeah, long story short, I took on the basketball program because nobody else would do it, quite frankly.
And you certainly don't want to see those kids lose on that experience. I mean, I've had, obviously, my son went to Siakam. I've seen the dedication of the coaches there. But when you get to that stage where you can't find that coach for senior varsity and you've got kids that have been playing for 3 years working towards that team, Jerry, you're a bit of a lifesaver there. And I want to let you know there is a shot clock in basketball. I'm not sure if you know that. The shorts are a little baggier. I don't know if you know that either.
Actually, after 40-some-odd years of refereeing, yeah, I'm unaware of that, Howard. You know, we...
We're just having fun, Jer. I your commitment is to be commended. We're excited about Seaquam football from grade eights through JVs through seniors, and the great start your program is off to there in North Delta. Jer, I know we bump into each other everywhere, including BC Place Stadium, sidelines, basketball courts. We see each other everywhere, and I know we'll see each other soon, but just want to thank you for being a guest today on the show, and all the best to your boys down the road.
Thanks so much, Howard. I appreciate it.
And that's going to wrap up the show for today, everybody. We want to thank our guests for joining us today. Right off the top, David Mills, the defensive coordinator of the Robert Bateman Timberwolves out in Abbotsford, Wayne Theobald, the head coach of North Vancouver's Argyle Pipers, and to finish the show, Jerry Mullis, the longtime BC football person, currently the head coach of the Seaquam Seahawks out in North Delta. The sound you hear is the MEI Screaming Eagles Band with another rendition of our theme song, Generation Next, and that's our cue to say we'll see you all again next week.
You've been listening to Varsity Letters, your British Columbia High School and University sports podcast, hosted by Province sports reporter Howard Samura. Read Howard's blog at theprovince.com or follow him on Twitter at HSamura. That's HTSUMURA.